and welcome to the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make all sorts of noise. It's episode 126, and I am Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars. And joining me this week are the creator of the awesome webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
The bustle in all our hedgerows, Tony Esmond.
Dan's hello sounded a bit like something else is going on there.
Yeah, I'm not gonna see it. It was like he was halfway through something. You're right, Dan.
I held my breath for 10 seconds before saying that.
Did you? Why?
I'm making a hello different every week.
Do you?
Yeah, 126 episodes in. Trying to do slight variations.
Really? You're subtle in your variations, my friend.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They'll make some kind of YouTube video of that or something. They'll sample it.
Supercut.
Wrong, won't they? Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
If anyone's got a time or an inclination to do that, you go for it.
Yeah. When we get to episode 150, folks, one of you please make a supercut of every hello Dan's said. Because I want evidence that it's been different every week, Dan.
Yeah, it's definitely different. I actually thought something had happened.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I thought you had a case of Windy Pops.
Windy Pops. I have Sugar Puffs in the morning. They're nice.
What else? What other cereals do you like, Tony?
Well, Crunchy Nut Corn Flakes are the king of corn flakes.
Yeah. They are. They're very Moorish.
Yeah. I don't know, actually. Frosties are more of a sort of common man's fallback to Crunchy Nut Corn Flakes, aren't they?
How do you feel about a Weetabix or a shredded wheat?
Don't mind it. I don't like Weetabix as much. And you have to put too much milk on them. It goes soggy. I don't know if there's any point in them, to be fair.
And you've always got to add sugar to those things, haven't you?
Yeah, you have, haven't you? Yeah. I don't know. I don't mind porridge. I quite like porridge.
Yeah.
I had a porridge gun once. That went off quite badly.
Oh, really?
Hmm.
That's what everyone seems to fucking eat at work in the morning, porridge.
Yeah, it's the cool thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got to show you I'm being healthy by eating porridge at work.
You sound quite upset about it, Dan.
No, I don't care.
You could have fooled me.
Anyway, you're adored at work because we saw it on Facebook this week.
Yeah.
It's
on someone on the fucking wind-up. Obviously.
Right, let's explain it to listeners. What happened, Dan?
Someone put Dan B, you're cute, on the board. And instantly I thought, right, who's fucking put that there? Who's on the wind-up?
Yeah. Where's you Tony? Still took a selfie of yourself, though, didn't it?
Yeah. Because I also managed to wind my wife up, which is dubious whether I should do that. Someone was asking me, and I said, he said, do you know where it was? And I said, they said, you're married. I went, yeah, I know. It depends who's asking, though. Oh, my wife.
I knew a bloke, and if anyone ever asked him if he was married, he'd go, no. Oh, hang on a minute. Yeah, I am, sorry.
Yeah.
Revert to no straight away.
I must say, listeners, that Dan Butcher is responsible for one of the best lines I've ever heard that we that we got told this week. When his wife said to him, Dan, are you a bad loser? He immediately responded, I wouldn't know.
I love it when I can almost see your face when you're so happy that something's happened and then you message us with it. It just makes me laugh.
Yes, this week we're also joined by a guest and he's very patiently sitting there. I don't know if he's trying not to laugh or if he just doesn't find us funny, which wouldn't surprise me.
Probably the latter.
Yeah. This week we're very pleased to be joined by the man behind the brilliant charity organisation Little Heroes, Aaron Rackley.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, guys.
You're Aaron.
Yeah. I have been laughing. I've just had it on mute.
Ah, someone that uses the mute button. He's a good guest.
I've got to mute the audio.
You don't in every 2 minutes.
Dan, you muted it once when you went for a wee-wee mid-interview, didn't you?
I did, yeah. It's a fact. It's only been once.
Has it only been once? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What does it say that you can go off and go to the toilet and come back and no one's none the wiser?
So, maybe there needs to be two people on the podcast.
Yeah. That wasn't an episode where we had someone who was talking an awful lot, to be fair.
Yeah. I did have the earphones in because I was on the phone so I could listen to this turn mute off.
Yeah, I get you.
If someone asked you a question midstream, would you have unmuted it?
That's good practice, though, isn't it? For your downstairs, stopping it, starting it.
Yeah.
Pardon?
So. To the answer to the question, I know I would have kept on miterating and then answer, come back and made an excuse about the mic cutting out or something.
Yeah.
Right, don't you deny this, Dan, because I know you're doing it. Every week you throw in a thesaurus word. There's a big word that you use, and I have to think for half a second, what does that mean?
I was urinizing.
Yeah. Is there a hero called the Urinizer? If not, why not?
Should be.
Yeah. But thanks for joining us, Aaron.
Yeah, lovely to hear from you.
Thanks for inviting me on.
He sounds slightly scared, slightly nervous, but he's here now. He can't get away from it.
I'm just waiting for the insults so I can get that bit over and done with.
You got about 2.5 hours of that yet, so that's
But before you've got 2.5 hours of that, it's time for the sponsorship section. As always, this week's show is brought to you by our good friends at Comic House. You may have heard a bit about them.
In the last week?
Yeah, there's quite a few people talking about it. But they're bringing independent and small press comics to the masses in every way possible. They have an extensive database on the website comichouse.com, which is comic, HAUS.com. Just in case you... Yes, because we've never said it on the show how it's actually spelled. I don't know if... Well, Aaron pointed out that we've never said it, never spelled it on the show, and I feel ashamed.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's written in the show notes.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's true. But I don't know how many people actually check those. I do them every week, and I don't know how many people... Anyway, not that I'm bitter. But at comichouse.com, you can grab physical copies of some awesome titles, like Alex Automatic, Periwinkle, Kid Monkey, Untethered, not to mention their own anthology series, which a couple of the folks on this show might have been a part of.
Yeah.
Not only that, but for those who like their comics digitally... the absolutely awesome Comic House app is out now, and everyone's been talking about it. We've been talking about it every week, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
I've been reading a comic, well, on Friday I just downloaded a load and read them on the way home.
Oh, really? Cool.
Interesting experience.
What, yep. your journey home?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not jumping down that rabbit hole.
No.
Old Skull Mask might come back again. That's a call back for old listeners there.
Yeah,
been a while.
I know. We need to bring back some of our old jokes because the new ones aren't that good.
New ones are shite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you should download the Comic House app because it's a proper swish-looking app that looks really nice. And you can sign up and enjoy the entire library on the go. It's basically Netflix for comics. There's no better way to say it. That's why I say it every week.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's only £3 a month, which is basically the price of a normal comic on the shelves every week. That's a deal and a half.
It's a good deal.
For those creators out there who have taken part or want to join it and stuff, like me, I can say now it's totally easy to submit and upload your work to Comic House because all of the issues of the Red Mask of Mars are now part of the library.
Nice.
I finally got off my lazy ass, yes. I was lazy about it.
Just block out half an hour, you can bang through it, depending on how many comics you got.
I got 4 issues of my comic uploaded in that time. It was easy.
Cool.
Really easy. But if you have digital issues that you want on there, then sign yourself up. And if you're wondering like how having your work on an app like this works for you in terms of, like, you know, the monetary side of it.
Revenue share.
Revenue. I can never think of words on this show. It's terrible, isn't it? I'm hosting a bloody podcast and I can't do the English language. Anyway, Comic House are putting 50% of ad revenue into a pot which will be split every quarter depending on how many times your book is read. So basically, the more readers and subscribers the app gets, the more tasty cheddar your books will be earning. Which is nice, because we all want people reading our books. That's the whole point of getting them out there, isn't it?
Everyone now goes on and starts reading their own book over and daily, don't they?
It's a good idea, you know?
Yeah.
Oh dear, but Comic House is a brilliant example of independent comics coming together to help independent comics. So check it out, comichouse.com, download the app. Not only that, but recently we had a cheeky little competition for the past couple of weeks.
We did.
Where you could get a 12-month subscription to Comic House app. And we asked a question, didn't we, Tony?
Yep. Why is small press so good? Is that the question? I can't remember. But we got quite a lot of answers. We got some that were just fucking... made us laugh.
Yep.
One that dropped the C bomb, which did particularly make us laugh. Sadly, thank you for that reply, but you didn't win. But it was a nice try. The two winners, we've got two winners who are each going to get a year subscription. First one is Jen Brown for some lovely words that she made me promise I wouldn't read out. And she started it. I'm not really entering the competition, but if I was going to, I said, well, tough luck, Jen. You just entered because that's such a good answer.
I always thought that was a ploy for how people did win competitions.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh. So,
is she an evil genius? Have we just discovered she's actually an evil genius?
I got to draw naked ladies once, so she's probably quite evil. Like me. You're not really, Jen. We love you. And Tom Curry, who did us a great video, which is kind of like an animated PowerPoint. I'm going to say it like that.
Yeah.
With him talking over the top of it. And it splendidly ends on probably the sexiest image I've ever seen of Vincent Hunt eating a pork pie.
No, get it right. I'm eating a mini roll in front of the oldest building in Rome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It is. We will have to link to that video in the show notes. Because apart from it being like funny, and when I saw that last shot, I thought, oh, God, I was laughing. And as well, ashamed of seeing the zoom on my face.
It just it's zooms terrifying. In, doesn't it?
Yeah, video is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he brings up a lot of really good points. Yeah. He talks about a lot of good comics. Yeah, well done, Tom. Yeah, top stuff. So we'll be putting you in contact with Peter at Comic House your prizes.
We will indeed.
Can we say the C word one, what the actual wording was?
Yeah, you've got it in front of you.
All right. I'm making a note of the time now, so go.
I can't find it. Hang on, we'll have to find it first.
All right.
Yeah. And you do your thing first.
Well, the thing is, we're going to offer you another chance to get a 12-month subscription to Comic House.
Oh, boy.
We just keep on giving,
one more.
One more time for the, it's like, for the bleachers. I don't know. That's a sports term, isn't it? But
I bleached something once.
Daniel Butcher came up with a good way that you could win it.
Tried and tested method.
Yeah. So this week, how can they win, Dan?
Is this going to be the nice and easy way of liking and sharing a specific post on Facebook? So when we announce the competition, we're going to put it on the official ACP page on Facebook,
which is facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast.
Yep. Dislike the post, share the post, and we'll pick someone at random who's done that, and they'll get the 12 months.
So you got to, like it and share it, is that right?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah,
good.
Yeah, so it's kind of a bit of a back scrub in there. You get 12 months free, and we get the podcast shared a bit.
All you have to do is like and share something. That's all you have to do.
Two button clicks.
Yeah, easy, innit?
And you can have 12 months of Comic House, and so many. I mean, in the next 12 months, there's going to be a lot of independent comics going on there. So you want to get in what before it blows up the world.
Yeah,
yeah, and the ground floor.
And I think that Mauro Giovanelli stands another chance of winning, doesn't he, after his excellent entry, which I now have in front of me. Shall I read out his entry?
Yeah, what did Mauro say?
When asked what was good about Small Press, Mauro replied, I think Small Press is great because you can make comics without some telling you what to do. All the best, Mauro.
Fucking brilliant. That's great.
Oh dear. I've read that several times and I can't.
Yeah, still get a laugh.
Still about the delivery.
Yeah. Nice short little email, punch email. Nice.
Yeah. Yes. So there you go. But competitions and all that good fun aside, there is a reason we've got Aaron on the show. And it's not just to abuse him for 2 hours. Well, it does anyway, right? And he's got to prepare himself. But you run a little something called Little Heroes, don't you, Aaron?
I do.
You think you do?
Yes, I do. Yeah, no, I do.
And
I think that's... Are you sure you've got that, someone?
Now, obviously you're doing great work, but there may be some people out there who don't know much about it. So for those who don't know, what is Little Heroes?
So Little Heroes Comics, we create and distribute to sick children in the hospital, just comic making kits, basically. to help them just on their day-to-day, removing themselves from the struggles and things they have to deal with every day while sitting in the hospital, as boring as that can be. In a nutshell, that's what we do.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, there's two questions here. First one, how did this idea come about?
Okay, so I was diagnosed with cancer myself in 2013. And then I'm now all better and it's all cleared, according to the doctors.
Good man, yeah.
But obviously while you're in hospital, you get bored. I was very bored and I ate a lot of food, watched too much TV, which happened to all be food channels, and read tons of comics, which some people could possibly say is probably the best thing to do in life. But
Yeah,
I put on a lot of weight.
That's not disproven.
So obviously when I left hospital, like most people do, you reevaluate what's going on in your life. And for me, I wanted to help and give back as much as I could to all the amazing hospital and doctors and everything that helped me during my treatment. So the usual stuff of going out there and doing some runs, getting some fundraising, all that kind of stuff. But then after a while, I thought, I want to give something more, just something a bit more tangible than just some money that just might go and I don't know where it's going, how it's going to be used.
Yeah.
So originally, the plan was to leave the comics themselves to the hospital in little packs. But it turns out the amount of red tape for the NHS to be able to give one comic.
Oh, I remember you saying about this,
comic. Yeah, really? It's horrible because they have to vet every page, every image, every word. And it has to be vetted and approved by each individual hospital. Not just like, you can't just get one blanketed and then say, yes, this has been approved.
Oh, fucking
hell. So, it just proved too big of a problem. So I was like, there's loads of other people already giving books and stuff like that. So I thought, how can I still do this, but without that red tape being hit? Mm. And then I was thinking about other bits. And then it just came to me, like, why not give them the ability to make kits? Because I know a few people that obviously very creative, and a slightly creative background, so it was no big deal for me to just move to that area. So it all just spiraled out of one idea, which my girlfriend always likes to remind me that I never fulfill my ideas. So when I told her at first, it was a bit like, oh, is this one of your other ideas that's never going to come to fruition? I was like, no, 100%. 1,000%, this one's going to happen. And I just started off with a, you know, like a quick crowdfunding campaign. And that.
You sort of told her the time travel machine didn't work with this one, Will. Trust me. It's weird.
I try that one every year.
The NHS kind of having a bit of the bureaucracy there of kind of getting the comic okayed by every single site, which is just unbelievable. I can't believe there's not one center that would go to and give me a thumbs up. That seems just bonkers.
They wouldn't do that with a knob, would they, for example? You know,
I'm still hoping it's something that I can still do in the future, because I still want to be able to give them little kits as well as some examples of comics that they can use and look for inspiration and draw stories from. But I'm hoping it was like just someone trying to fob me off and not so I didn't have to send him a load of comics. But you never know. So that's something I'm looking at down the line.
So you say you do comic making kits. What is actually in a comic making kit that these kids get?
Okay, brilliant question. So our kits are, I think there's about, I don't know the number. So we have a set of stickers. Well, we've got three sets of stickers in our new kits. We have like speech bubbles and, you know, different shapes and sizes. Then we have a selection, two sheets of, you know, like the old school Batman wham bam.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah.
Thank you. Sound effects. All that kind
of
action shots. So we've got two pages of those kind of things as well. Then we give you some help guides We've got a few help guides, which were done by Dan Harris. And then, yeah, they're,
nice
they're really cool. And then we've got, alongside that, we have all the stuff that you'd need to draw comics. So you have pens, pencils, rubbers, sharpeners, colouring pencils, colouring crayons. And then the big other bit that we have with it is an actual pre-panelled blank comic itself.
Right,
and,
okay.
And a massive sketchbook to go alongside it, so you can practice in the sketchbook before finishing it off in the comic itself.
Cool.
That's awesome.
So we hope that's a wide variety of stuff.
Yeah. I presume the comics are not too autobiographical with a sticker sheet of wham and bam and stuff.
Perfect.
Maybe the kids are violent.
Just for your life, Dan.
Yeah. So, sorry, we took off the wrong leg. Right.
No, those packs sound amazing, though. You know,
I mean,
when you read just sort of comic making packs, there's probably a lot of people that just think, I don't know, they'll get a blank pad and some pencils and some pens. Do you know what I mean? That's essentially it. But you know, you've put a lot of thought into this, and I think it's brilliant. I mean, what is the reception being like for the packs themselves?
So originally, when we first fundraised, we fundraised enough to make 100 kits. And we sent those out across 3 different sites and a couple of like small offshoots of like 3 or 4 kits to get feedback on them. Hmm. And the immediate feedback is everyone's always just so amazed when they open them. Because I think, like you said before, they just have this expectation of what they're going to get.
Yeah.
And when they open it, they immediately go, oh, wow, this is a lot more than I thought we were going to get.
Yeah.
So they're always just so happy with that initial thing. And that's just the staff that we're giving them to in the first place.
Mm.
We're still getting feedback coming back from those first lots of kits at the moment from the children, and we've been putting the photos and stuff onto our social.
Right.
But it just seems that everyone just overall loves them. So that just gives us the more energy that we want to just make it more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're very happy with how they're getting received. And we've been getting feedback on what to include and how to make them better in the future. So we've been trying to incorporate that into the next lot that we've already started making now. So.
Oh, nice. What sort of feedback did you get then?
So one of the feedbacks we got was to actually put speech bubbles in, those speech bubbles like I was saying. And that was funny because we'd actually already had our artists make those for the first comic kits, but due to budget constraints, we didn't ever get them printed. So it was nice to be able to go back and then with the new lot of money and get this printed plus that extra stuff that we wanted to get done in the first place. So that was one of them. And the other feedback we've got... Yeah, go on.
No, go on, mate. Yeah, you carry on.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to say, the other feedback we got, which is something that alludes back to earlier, was just they want an example of a comic. But again, it's hard to currently do that. So
gotcha.
Right, which leads on to the next bit of your project, is it? Or
so yeah, the anthology has quite a few things that I want it to achieve for Little Heroes Comics.
Okay.
Well, there's 2 big ones, and one is obviously to help raise more money for the next obviously continuous work that we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these are comics you'll sell at conventions and you sell online and stuff, and that money raised from the print of those will help to fund the packs, is that right?
That's absolutely, yeah.
Right,
so every single penny that we have goes towards trying to make the packs bigger and better than they already are.
Awesome. Excellent.
You know, include more stuff and even make more of them. Yeah, so the anthology is obviously the next thing, which quite a few amazing people have already signed up for, so we're so excited about that.
There's quite a few very sexy creators involved in that. I'm going to say that out loud.
Oh, God.
And you'll do it, Tony, isn't
you? There's this one guy just to be in it. Yeah. I did want to turn him down, but he was like, come on the show. So I felt like I had to.
Yeah.
I, no.
A dilemma people have. You know, you're not coming to the show and just let me in your comic. And there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, the sheer wealth of... We've got, I think, about 10 different comics already going into it that have definitely come back and been sent and finished. So we're really excited for that. And we're going to probably do that as a Kickstarter next month.
Excellent.
If it all goes well this month.
Well, we've got, I know Kev Brett's done one. He sent it through to me the other day to have a read, and it's really good. Yeah, Kev does great comics, isn't he? I love Kev's sort of imaginative sort of Beano-esque comics that he does, and it's a really good one he's got coming to you. Yeah, very
Kev,
good.
Sent me through that anthology during the week, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, what, Nottingham one?
Yeah, the Nottingham one. It's brilliant.
Oh, right, yeah, me and him did something for that. That was good fun, actually.
Really good.
Yeah. I'm not saying who's the writer it's meant to be, but yeah, we had fun doing that.
So, the anthology itself, when you said, like, you had some things that you wanted to achieve, and obviously, is this an anthology that you will be supplying to hospitals?
The idea is eventually I'll hope that we'll be able to create an anthology that will go to the hospital.
Right.
But we'll obviously have to make one that is very focused on children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even though all the comics that have been coming through for the anthology at the moment are can be read by anyone, because I always ask everyone to do it family friendly.
Yeah.
But we've got some like less comic, more art style of pages as well. So again, it's just, if we do it for hospitals, that I hope we will do one for hospitals, that will be a bit more kind of focused than what we already have.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I've done the same with, I think me and Dan's lettering it, and I've done it, and Susie Gander has done the art on the story that I've done for you. That was real fun to do. It's a weird thing, isn't it? Just doing a comic that's just purely for young kids. Mm. It's got a strange dynamic to it, but it was really fun, you know.
That's probably surprising to a lot of people that Tony Esmond has written an all ages comic.
Yeah.
Well, we did have to edit it a little bit. But... But my favourite part of the whole process, because obviously this is new to me, I've never created a comic in my life, and the process for me has just been so exciting, because initially I always ask everyone to send like a quick elevator pitch of what they want to do, just to make sure that it fit with the theme that we were doing, and no one sent one through. Everyone sent through the whole script. So I'd be sitting there like going through these scripts, and then they'd send me wireframes, and then they'd send me these, and I was just, every time I was like little presents in my inbox. It was
beautiful. Oh, that's good. At least it wasn't a chore then, kind of getting that. And
yeah.
Obviously,
not one day has it been a chore.
Too much of a gentleman to talk about ones that weren't appropriate. But I presume they were all good.
We didn't have any. No, surprisingly, we didn't have any. I think everyone was just more excited to... Because I think the trouble was, because it's so new of a charity, and it's so new of me being in this world of small press and small comics, people that were coming and asking definitely already knew who we were.
Oh, good.
And they wanted to help for that reason. They already had an expectation that it was going to be for children, it was going to be around that way.
So you put in mind, that's a quick turnaround. Sorry, Dan, that's a quick turnaround if you're almost ready to go to Kickstarter with it. So you must be almost complete then, are you? Or...
So we never had an expectation of how big it was going to be, the page size. So I just set myself a deadline of end of November. So however many there was by the end of November, that's what it would be.
Oh, right.
So that I didn't end up trying to wait for like 2 months for someone, or because obviously you're asking people for their time. And
that's the thing about anthologies, isn't it? There is a definite, editing an anthology is a definite waiting game for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah, it's for us.
How long have people been waiting for your one?
Yeah, we keep them waiting, mate. That's how we do it.
Yeah,
keep them waiting.
So November's the cut-off, and then wherever we're at that point, that's going to be it. So.
Oh, nice. And then how are you intending to sell it? Are you going to table at any conventions, or what's your plans?
So, first it will just be through Kickstarter, and then it'll be on our website.
Right.
And then the plan is, yes, we are hoping, we just haven't decided which ones, I'll probably be asking you guys for advice. Which conventions to go to. So, because I don't go to a lot of them, because I'm based out in Dover. So no
into about that.
In London. Yeah, I apologise as well. I went to London Super Comic Con.
Yeah.
And that was fun for me. So, but it's a long travel.
One in Margate, haven't you, coming up next year as well, dude?
I don't know.
So, yeah, I'll send you the link. There's definitely one in Margate coming out. Not too
far. I'm trying to find a list somewhere of just everything throughout the year and where they are. So
there was a board that had a list. I'll see if I can.
Yeah, there wasn't there. Yeah. Comic conventions. I think it's Comic Conventions UK. Is it on Twitter? Is that
They do have a big list of them, and it'd be good to sort of do a map that's like region specific, and you can look up where what's where.
Yeah.
I'm writing that on my ideas page.
I've got one of them.
It will be a good idea for the packs in future. You might have already thought of this one, but it's like maybe a character template or two, so people could kind of design the characters, like have like generic body types, and they could fill it in.
So the helpful guides that we have, there's how to draw a woman's face, how to draw a man's face, and then they have a full body outline of a man and a full body outline of a woman. So that's what we have at the moment. And that's something that I'm hoping to make into a full-fledged little book of how to draw comics. Just four little pages at some point. So that's an ongoing project. I just need to get artists with more time. So that's a long-term project, that one.
Yeah.
I said, I've got to take my hats off to kind of anyone kind of getting involved. I feel like the kind of the comics crowd would be the kind of people that would give up their time and do something like this. It does make me feel sort of very proud of them. I guess that's a bit self-congratulatory, because I wouldn't say about another group that they would do that, but do you know what I mean?
I would honestly agree with you. I think I posted in the Facebook group the other day that the biggest thing that I found about Small Press was just how welcoming everyone is and how willing everyone is to help each other out. And I don't mention it too much in the blogs, but when I first started this idea, I did contact literally every publisher I could think of and didn't hear back from any of them. So I was at a loss at that point. And then a few friends of mine were like, you should, you know, why don't you go on Facebook and ask a couple of these communities? And then that was my foot into this world. And I have looked back and everyone's been amazing. And I don't think it would have been as successful as it is without the help of everyone in the community.
Oh, nice. Cool. Yeah. Nice one, dude.
Do you hear that, Small Press? You're all lovely.
Apart from us. I mean, is charity comics, you don't see that many, do you?
In what sense?
Well, you know, just comics that are just made just for charity to raise funds for something. I went through a few today. Obviously, Nottingham every year, which I know we talked about before we came on air.
Yeah.
They do Susie's one every year, don't they?
One was
Susie. Yeah. Harry
Winkler. That's a tearjerker, that one.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Yeah, that's on my list. My first memory of them was stuff like, was it Heroes Against Hunger and Heroes for Hope, which was during the, I suppose, early, mid to mid 80s, around the Ethiopian famine. Remember them coming up thinking, wow. And the names on those books were incredible. I remember, you know, Alan Moore and Richard Corbin and Frank Miller and Harlan Ellison, and you name it, they did it back then, didn't they? You know,
there was one that Image did as well during the 90s. I can't recall what it was. It was something to do with flooding. I can remember like a Jim Lee drawn Stormwatch thing. I was like, oh, wow, okay. So I feel bad if I can remember. I can remember the comic artist detail, but not the actual disaster.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
My priorities are really straight there.
Remember there was a comic relief comic years ago. Does anyone remember that?
Grant
Morrison was in it, and Peter Hogan and Gaiman and Richard Curtis wrote a story. I think Lenny Henry wrote a story. Yeah, that was quite good. Yeah. And the other one I come up with was Artists Against Raging Government Homophobia, ARG. Did anyone remember that from the 80s?
No.
Had a cover by Dave McKean, and it was the fight against Clause 28, which was a clause in an act that was written to outlaw the promotion of homosexuality. And they did a comic on that. That had some, like, Dave Sim, Harvey Peacock, Crump.
How well publicised was that, though? Or any of these, sort of?
Yeah, I mean, I think those ones were pretty widely distributed. You know, Heroes for Hope and Heroes Against Hunger were big ones, weren't they? I think they were sort of Jim Starlin and Bernie Wrightson created them, you know, sort of, yeah, big deal. But if I walked around a convention, how often do you see it now? It's not quite as often as I would like it to be, I'll be honest with you, you know.
Well, I mean, I have seen, and I probably see it more, certainly with the independent creators, those people who, as well as their comic, they'll have like a donation box for something, or they'll be raising money for things. I've seen that before.
Yeah, yeah, I know that MCM has a Dogs Trust.
Yeah.
And I think, didn't London Super Comic Con had the Dogs Trust, or was it Cats Protection
it
or
was
something like that?
Cats Protection League, yeah.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, they had, and I like to think they were given that space for free.
Yeah. Yeah. I bloody hope so. Jesus.
Yeah.
We was offered a space at London Super Comic Con in the main entrance. But they wanted us to actually put out a load of kits for any kids that turn up. But this was very early on the concept idea of our actual first fundraising. So we just couldn't ever commit and be like, yeah, we definitely can afford to
fair enough.
1,000 comic kits at that point, but it's definitely something we'd love to do again if we get the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, I think you're game ready now for it, aren't you? More than then, you know.
Yeah, and
if you could charge for the kits on the day, that would help the kits that are going to kids in hospital as well, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I've always liked the idea of buy a kit, give a kit kind of idea.
Yeah, good idea.
Pay almost twice the price, but you're getting one kit and giving one.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah,
that.
That's a good idea. Yeah,
has it got? But like a lot of creative types, even though maybe they won't be able to support the thing financially, can offer up their skills, and as long as you can, if you're helping in some way, do you know what I mean? That's better than doing nothing. And kind of where people have offered up their creative talents, it's fantastic because there's a lot of time, effort, and energy goes into that. And really applaud people for doing it.
Even in this day and age, where sharing things is so easy, and getting the word out about things, like the act of doing it is so easy, but it's almost not done enough at the right time. Do you know what I mean? When things are right, they deserve it. You see a lot of retweets of some celebrity doing something stupid, but sometimes when you need to get the word out about something, people don't retweet as much.
Yeah, I think even one step beyond that, people think they're doing something by retweeting a Guardian article or something, and you think, well, no, you'd be doing something if you sent some money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not just, oh, look at me, I'm an activist, I'm retweeting this, you know. I'm thinking, you know, no, do something, you know, actually do something with your time, like Aaron has, you know.
Yeah
I think they quench their thirst and think they're okay, and they think they're doing the right thing because they retweet something. And I think, well, you're not really.
I mean, you could add to that these days, in the days of where you can quote a tweet, isn't it? You could retweet it, but at the same time, sort of saying, go to this place for more information or to donate or this, that, or the other. It doesn't take much to do it.
Yeah.
I think it's really hard as well because there's a lot of stigmatization these days around what happens to your money when people donate.
Yeah.
You know, there's always stories in newspaper about how only 1% or 20% actually gets to wherever it's supposed to get to. So I think it's that's why it's always a great idea when you do donate to do it to a cause that is small, because you're more likely to have an impact. Like for me, when people donate just £5, that's a whole kit. That's one kit out the door to someone else, so that goes so far, and that's one kid that we can make happy for a period of time.
I tell you what, £5 for that entire kit, that's bloody good value.
That is good as well.
There's a lot of like stuff that we see on the independent circuit where you pay a lot more and you get a hell of a lot less.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting because when we first done our first round of fundraising, we raised just over £1,000, and that could only make 100 kits, and I think that almost come out at like £10 each.
Mm.
It's only when you start doing sheer volume.
Yeah.
Like my front room at the moment, I'm living with my fiance's parents while we save for our house deposit. And in our little living room, it's just boxes upon boxes with all these thousands worth of components.
Bit of loving that.
I get dirty looks. But so, sheer volume is what makes it cheaper. Yeah, it's for charity, honest.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was at work and you had to take 10 boxes in. I'm very sorry. Which is the common one at the moment.
Yeah. I hope they don't listen.
But luckily, we we're able to do it this time around because we got a grant off the National Lottery.
Oh, cool, brilliant.
Big fund. So they gave us enough money, which was just shy of £6,000, in order to make 1,000 more kits for the next, you know.
Okay.
And that's what we're currently putting together at the moment in the fund room.
That's brilliant.
Okay. Is it mostly hospitals near your end of the country, is it, Aaron, or...?
So, originally, I wanted to give back to the first hospital, which was the one that helped me, which was the Royal Marsden in Sutton.
Okay, I know the Royal Marsden. Yeah.
And then the first other couple of hospitals came from the fact of communicating with the person at the Royal Marsden who knew people. And that ended up being like the Rainbow Trust and then St. George's Hospital in Tooting.
Yeah.
And so that was like the first three major hospitals that we sent like 30 odd kits to each one of those. And then now it is literally hospitals that are contacting me through Twitter or Facebook who have seen what we do and believe that it would help their children at their hospitals.
That's brilliant.
So we have no, like I forgot what the word is, but we've, in our charity documentation for the government, we have said this, the whole UK. So if any hospital contacts us in the UK, we'll send you some if we have some.
If you've got the stocks, yeah. We'll You're going to become the victim of your own success there, aren't you? Because it sounds like it's already a growing enterprise.
We had that when we gave that first lot. We already had people coming in and we was like, I'm sorry, but it's going to be 3 or 4 months before we get to make the next lot because of fundraising.
Yeah.
So, but this time...
It's good though, I mean, historically, comics have always been something you give to a kid when they're off sick from school anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's a great little thing. And it, you know, it's like just to keep your kid quiet in the back of the car. When I was a kid, you were given a pile of comics, weren't you? You know?
Yeah.
I think it's a great little thing to have. And they'll keep them, a lot of those kids, and the parents keep them. And let's face it, we could do with the numbers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's also good for kids to kind of, in a way, whatever they're going through when they're in hospital, that would almost be like a kind of diary therapy kind of thing to them, to kind of put do some art and kind of work through some of these things they're going through in hospital. Might just be literally boredom, but other kids might be going through a whole different range of emotions and feelings. So that'd be a good little outlet.
Hospitals are so boring as well. I spent some time in a hospital this year, and it is the most boring place. And it literally does suck, you know, suck all sort of, you don't really want to do anything because you're sort of surrounded by boredom and people screaming and stuff, you know. So to have something that can channel your interest like that is really needed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is.
I think as well, the imagination of these kids, we get on my Twitter, I tweet them whenever we get them in. And on our website, but the pictures of like the little scribbles or drawings and just the little things that go alongside it and the names and what their superpowers are, just you'd read them and you're thinking, I want to make that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's one
Sense
thing
of Walt is their way.
introduced to recently, I don't know if you guys heard of this, was craftivism. You ever heard of that?
No.
I
Well, I sort of said... speak to someone, they said, we do this thing where she runs a group called Craftivism, and obviously I started sneering immediately, thinking, what the fuck's this? but then they said this lady basically like crocheted like napkins or something and sent them to like these MPs, and then they changed their vote on something accordingly. And I was like, okay, I'm surprised that worked, rather than sort of like standing outside their house bawling at them for like a week. he done this, and they sort of reconsidered their opinion on something. And I was massively skeptical, but those kind of things can work. So hopefully, the same thing with the comic kits can really kind of, I would like to think they could do some real good.
Yeah, and we come together in the comic community, don't we? Quite a lot. I mean, there are a few sort of charities out there, aren't there? That are sort of widely supported. I know if you do when I go to New York, there's a table there that some of the best artists, last time I saw Steve Dillon, sadly, was at the Hero Initiative table. You know, I mean, that's a great little... For anyone who doesn't know, that's a charity that raises money for old creators. I think, historically, creators, you know, who sort of helped shape the industry are now sort of old and not very well and don't have the money to pay for sort of medicine and hospital treatment.
It's the American,
like
because obviously, isn't it like with the insurance, health insurance and all of that, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a great little charity, the Hero Initiative. I was looking into a few today, and there's another one called Wonder Woman Day in Portland. Does anyone know this?
No.
No.
And it's a charity that once a year they raise money for domestic violence shelters in Portland.
Okay.
That's
awesome.
Quite a cool little thing. And the other one that came up immediately is Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, for people, creators who have fallen in trouble around things like copyright and infringement and stuff
I've
like
heard
that.
Of
you
them.
Know?
Yeah, I have heard.
Yeah.
Of them.
Mm. Yeah. And they're more sort of legal defense fund sort of type thing, defense sort of barrister type thing, I think. Sorry, mate, gone.
Were they involved in like the Kirby stuff?
Yeah, I think they were. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, getting funds back from companies and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah, I know they used to do Comica. In fact, the Comica I met you at, Vince.
What a day.
3 years ago. What a brilliant day that was.
What a romantic, beautiful day. It was like Dirty Dancing.
Living on your memory.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other side of the escalator that basically you were standing next to was the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. I don't know if you remember, and they were sort of selling stickers and stuff like that. They had autograph books and things like that. Yeah. That's an interesting one.
We'll need them one day.
Yeah, we will.
It goes, it might go a bit beyond that.
I mean, I think it's brilliant. I mean. For all the ups and downs that comics has, and this year has certainly been an up and down year, which we'll probably talk more about in the best of or whatever when we review the year. You know, I just knowing that comics can do so much good, and you know, and they can help out so many people, especially people outside of our bubble, because it is a bubble that we're in.
Yeah,
you know, especially this show, it's a bubble within a bubble.
Yeah. I mean, parents who are just buying kids comics from W. H. Smith, and they're reading about Deadpool or Spider-Man or Batman.
Yeah.
That's what we're about. You know, that's what we should be about, I think.
Yeah. But it's definitely getting those comics into kids' hands and getting them making it, because kind of keep on going after the same old crowd, they're eventually...
Yeah, we're gonna wind ourselves up into nothing, aren't we?
Yeah.
All this like backbiting and, you know, sniding and having a go at each other in the comic industry that seems to happen sort of almost on a daily basis at the moment. Yeah, you need to get kids reading good comics again.
Yeah,
like we did. Like the reason we're lifers is because we read them when we were kids. Yeah.
And I really think there needs to be a new wave. I mean, there's loads now, but even more all ages and kids comics. We've talked about it on the show before, and certainly there's more small press people making them, but we need even more. You know, because it's the next generation. I mean, I sound really old saying it, but it's the next generation that you need to get reading comics, isn't it?
Yeah, it was my son. They were making comics in school, and the teacher was trying to encourage him to make comics. So I printed off the two pager that we did with me and John Lake did the Strong Arm George on A3, and took him in. And the kids really liked him. And I was kind of thinking, I feel like I've snuck that in under the radar. So kids make more comics. But. They said, "Oh, you should be famous." So it doesn't quite work like that. But.
No,
it is.
I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, you used to get comics at the barbers. Remember when you were a kid and you used to go and get your hair cut with your dad? And there'd be comics on the table, wouldn't there?
Yeah,
stuff
I remember
like that.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
At the dentist or the doctor. But now it's all GQ and all that kind of shite.
Yeah. Crap. Yeah.
Comical sometimes.
Yeah,
that's true.
I've been approached by
GQ.
Here we go.
Yep.
I knew it was just a matter of time, Dan. You've got cover model written all over you.
We've been saying that for years.
Yeah.
One of the magazines I work on, they've approached me and said I was about putting a comic strip in the
Reader's Husbands.
The magazine. And they said, "Have you got any concepts?" And I sort of. Like right now, I kind of write a 3 or 4 page panel comedy strip. Like that's it's kind of okay. I have to have a think about that. And he said, "Well, we need something by Christmas." So
that's easy.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, nice one, man. That's good. Look at you going small, going indie now.
Yeah,
leave us behind.
When's GQ's man of the year? He'll forget us, Tony.
I have to talk to you guys about after the show what it's about, because it's a very specific subject area.
Is it anal again?
I don't know much about that, but I do know a lot about that subject.
Can we make it anal again, please? Why do you always suggest anal, Dan? Yeah. We know you're
stuff right itself.
From the wall.
It's supposed to say annual.
Yeah. What mortgage magazine? They don't want to read about anal.
They don't want the brown eye close up.
But it's like basically like a specialist trade magazine. Okay. So if you can imagine, right, try and make some great jokes about this. There's okay.
Like they have, I got news for you. It's Hamster Monthly or something. Or
yeah, something like that. Not quite as specialised.
Right, okay.
Okay. Kind of the material doesn't really write itself.
Yeah. It's a Dilbert thing. It's a bit like Dilbert.
On the Awesome Comics group talk this week, we want a thread, people. What do you think, Dan, is going to be published in? We want your craziest magazine suggestions.
I'll put it up in the group with the kind of theme and then see if anyone can throw me a bone.
Who were?
I'll turn it for you, Dan.
Gilf Monthly. They're not monthly anymore, are they? They're just videos online. They're no fun anymore, are they? Yeah.
But we think it's great work you're doing, Aaron.
Should I make the joke about going off topic there? I don't even make that joke anymore.
It's the exact kind of creative freedom we hope the comics make.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Touché. Touché. Oh, dear. What does, I mean, obviously, you've had a, is this the first year of Little Heroes? Or is it a second?
Yeah, we started the first fundraiser in the end of March last year. This year, sorry, yeah. So it's not even been a year yet. So, So a lot has happened.
Pretty successful first year, and the time's just disappeared. I don't know where this year has gone. So for 2018, I can't believe I'm saying that. What is the plan for Little Heroes? What are your goals?
Goals?
Yeah.
Is to obviously try and get all these 1,000 kits out as quick as we can. Mm. And then, obviously, I think we're going to have to do a very big fundraising push for the next one. Because the trouble with me is I'm always trying to think of how to make everything better and how to make it bigger. But it always costs more money. Mm. So even though we've got these kits down to just over £5, I reckon the next ones will cost more because we just want to put more into them.
Okay.
And make them better. So I think all it's going to be is just one big fundraising log, I think.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is going to involve in trying to go to a few conventions and get to meet people a bit more and get our name across the community.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people will throw ideas at you for like fundraising ideas, I'm sure.
Yeah, they will. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're always open for any suggestions about anything.
Do you hear that, listeners? Yeah. We know all our listeners are really nice people. They're not nice to us.
Yeah. But, I think that's one of the reasons when like your little incidents. It's a bit of a side, but when little incidents pop up and feel like people have had an injustice against them, it's because so much time is kind of given up and there's a real community spirit of everyone helping each other out. When someone takes the piss, it feels really kind of, you feel aggrieved. I mean, like when does, like posting up prints in the con, or they're acting a bit out of order at their table, whatever. I feel like that's why people get their backs up more ordinary than they would. It's because there's a bit of a sort of we're all in this together kind of thing. And I feel like that sort of... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get you completely. That's a well-made point, actually, yeah. Yeah, I think because we're so supportive when something like that happens, yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
It feels like it takes it a bit beyond and we all get a bit fucked off about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was actually really surprised by it, how willing people are. Because it's always hard to ask... for people to help you doing stuff for free. And it's a scary thing to ask people because being creative, you know what it costs to make something and how much time goes into doing it. So the sheer volume of amount of people that are willing to give their time, you also don't want to do an injustice for them and, run away with
Yeah, but I think in many ways that's why an anthology works, Aaron, and I think that's why something like Outlaws or Forest Tales from Nottingham works as well, is because you are asking people to do stuff for free, but it's only maybe 3 to 5 pages long, and yeah. It's not going to take them like a huge amount of time. It does take, you know, I thought about it a bit, and then I wrote it, and it only took me a few hours, but to draw it, it's going to take a couple of weeks, isn't it? But I don't think that's a huge chunk of time for some people when they're doing it for the right reasons. I think if you're going to do a long-form thing, like a 40 or 50-page comic, then that is another... completely, yeah, completely.
I don't think I'd even be able to ask someone to do that kind of...
Yeah, you're right.
It just wouldn't feel right to me, personally. Yeah.
If you're totally up front as well with your propositions, saying, look, this is not paid, this is entirely for charity...
Yeah,
and this is what we're expecting. That I don't think you can kind of, you can't really have a go at that, or be, you know, it is what it is. You've kind of said what you are up front. I think one thing that kind of people get a bit more aggrieved at is when someone pitches a comic book and said there's going to be back end money. You won't be able to get paid up front because there's sort of nebulous figure of how much you might get paid if it gets successful, and that's when I've seen people get a bit not nasty, but. If making sort of like a blind proposition like that is, you're asking people to invest a lot of time into essentially what could be nothing. Whereas when it's the charity thing and you're saying, right, here's a couple of pages, there's nothing for it, it's all for charity, they're up for it.
Yeah, no, I rushed to do it almost. I thought, oh, that's good. You know what I mean? It didn't take you long to write a script and come up with an idea. And I sort of, you know, yeah, it's good. And I have to say, you've seen Susie's work. I think you all have, actually. Yeah. She's fucking next level at that.
Just getting better really and better.
Mm. She is so getting better, isn't she? Yeah. Yeah, there's one panel in it I thought that's just like perfect. That's exactly how I imagined it, right at the end of the story. And I thought, that is just brilliant. Yeah.
There's a couple of artists.
That one you're on about as well. And
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. yeah, definitely. Yeah.
There's a couple of artists we've seen work who's posted up, and we've seen it come through the pod. And it's really interesting seeing them grow more and more. And I've mentioned him a million times, I've mentioned him a million more, is Chris Simba. It's like, when you think, I think, oh Christ, how can this get better? It's really great. And then I see some of the other stuff he's turning around now, it's like, fucking hell.
Yeah, yeah.
It's even better than what it was, and that was great.
And Vander's the same. Vander. For as long as I've known him, he was never a bad artist, but he's proper leveled up now. I saw some stuff he posted the other day, and I actually looked at it and thought, is that out of a Marvel comic?
Mm.
You know, because there were X-Men characters. And I thought, oh no, it's Brian stuff. And I thought, well, he could be doing, because of that one thought, he could be in an X-Men comic. You know?
Because I remember reading the World of Grey stuff, thinking, this is lovely, loving this. Mm. And then, like you said, he posted up stuff recently, the last couple of months I've seen him. So, fucking hell, this is like professional stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Really solid, smooth, and accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, seeing all the different artists kind of grow and change is a reward in itself. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely.
I really like seeing that happen within a series as well. Mm. So like issue 1 would took 100 times different to like issue 20.
Yeah,
like that as well, because you get to see them evolve as they identify themselves as a creator.
And it's something we get more in the small press because people start here, you know,
yeah,
and then they'll evolve into it. You don't see it quite as much in the big companies, do you?
I'd say you probably see it most in web comics. The amount of web comics.
Oh, okay.
I've checked out the latest page, and it's, you know, supremely polished. And then I always think, oh, I'm going to go back to the start. You know, I want to start at the beginning, and the first page is so much different.
Yeah,
you know,
it's weird. There's one of the criticisms someone was talking about that and said was the fact that the beginning of web comics compared to what the end are. Is such a vast change because the artist, if you work on it for years and years and years, of course they're going to get better. Well, you'd like to think they'd get better.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can just do it and put it out there, can't you? And we talked about the one you talked about last week, Vince, the lettering on that really, I checked that, went back into that. And the lettering does really improve towards, you know, the newer ages. And you can, it's nice to see that because I looked at it and thought, that's definitely the sort of lettering. He'll get around to sorting that out. And he does, you know.
That's great.
Really good. Yeah.
Lettering can be fixed so easily. Just a quick, just a bit of a read up on it, some observation, and go to that Blambots font. Yeah. They've got some tutorials on it.
Okay.
Nice and simple stuff to follow, and it'll set you right. And once you've got your eye in for it, it's hard to not see, not do it right.
In the new year, I'm going to have a letterist or letterer on the show, and we're going to have a show all about letters and stuff, because it's one of the parts of comics that actually I'm most interested in. And I don't know whether it's because like I come from the graphic design sort of background and I'm a bit of a font nerd. But
a lot of our listeners are graphic designers, aren't they? I know quite a few of them are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because you sit there and you go through podcasts while you're working, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, so they'll just stream it through their headphones.
Got the other side of it being that writers want to double up with their skills and become a letterer.
Yeah.
And
we're seeing a bit of that. Matt Garvey's done it. Yeah. Talked about it last week, wasn't he? Yeah. Yeah.
He's doing the colouring as well. I'd like to point out, I talked about Matt. Colouring. I spoke to him after the episode, and when he was doing the transfer colouring, that was before he'd even started the course with K. Michael Russell.
Okay.
So it has changed considerably since then. If that was him before the course, he might
have. Don't be too nice to him.
No.
Okay. He's horrible to me all the time. I don't do anything to him.
You don't, do you?
I do. I'm trying to kill him with kindness, and one day I will fucking kill him.
But I think like lettering's kind of essentially the unsung hero of comics, because if it's kind of like out, it really can throw the whole thing off.
Yeah.
But some lettering's just absolutely fantastic, and I like it when it's an integral part of the art. It really works for me.
And because they're getting speech bubbles in those packs, those little heroes packs, you're training the next generation of comic letters.
Yeah, there's some kind of theme to this, isn't there? Some kind of giant master plan.
Yeah.
Where you're getting kids to read comics, but you're also getting them to do your lettering.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, you're a plant, aren't you, Aaron? Basically, you're working for one of the big companies, aren't you?
Well,
they ignore me, so no.
Well, you would say that, wouldn't you? Mm.
Yeah, that's what a robot would say.
So,
I'm going to secretly all of a sudden put Spider-Man in every single box.
Just before the movie comes out, the next Spider-Man movie. Yeah. Look at all these comics.
All of a sudden, the kids are doing Watchmen in all their comics. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so good.
We're not touching. Subject, just in case anyone wondered. No, we're not going there this week.
We're not going there. But for those people that want to, throw a few pounds, dollars, whatever your way, and help you with the good cause you're doing, where can people do that?
So we've just released a brand new website. The original, it was just a little blog, but now we've got a nice shiny one with loads of pictures, and that's littleheroescomics.co.uk. And it does have a donate section on it.
Cool.
So
nice one.
There's various ways to donate. Yeah. PayPal is the easiest.
So. Nice. Good, well, that's easy. Anyone.
You're on Twitter as well, aren't you, Aaron?
We're on Twitter, Little Heroes Kit. I think it's Kit. No, Kit. Yeah. Because we tried to get the Little Heroes comics name, but someone had stole it.
So
we've got on social media everywhere. It's Little Heroes Comics if you want to find us, except for Twitter. Which is Little Heroes Kit.
Lovely. And is there anyone else you wanted to mention who's doing the anthology, just to whet people's appetite at all?
Oh, I've got a list. I'll give you a couple.
Yeah, go
on. So obviously you mentioned Kev Brett.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
Kev. We've got Tom Curry.
Oh, good man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two shout outs this week, Tom.
He's
not paying us. We just want to let you know that.
He bought us avocados in London.
He bought me a pork pie, so he's all right in my
book. That's
right. Yeah. Obviously, we've got the amazing Tony Esmond.
Yes.
Susie Gander.
I tell you what, Susie Gander's amazing. You were done with that writer, though, son. I tell
you. Listen, I've got to do something other than blowing hobos. I've got to find something to do.
That's not the name of the strip, is it? No.
That's his first comic idea pitch. So.
Kid friendly.
So yeah, there's just a couple. I don't want to spoil it with too much because I want to unveil it all as a whole on the Kickstarter when it's done. So,
cool.
Hopefully, there's some to whet the appetite.
Nice. Awesome. Good.
Do you actually see when the kids make the comics? Do you actually see any of the finished products?
So we've started. It all depends on the play therapists and the people working with them. We do put into the kit a little welcome like page that's just like tell her what the kit's about, and we do have please send us your photos to these all these addresses. But we get a few, and we always post them on straight away on Twitter because we're just so excited by what they create. Just so creative.
What kind of comics do the kids?
The more we get those in.
What kind of comics do the kids create? Is it usually superheroes? Is that predominantly what it is?
So far, we've just had mainly just pictures of them creating characters, which is
awesome.
The best thing, I think.
Mm.
So a lot of it is superheroes and obviously powers and all that kind of stuff. So we're hoping that at some point in the future, we do have plans to potentially go in and do little workshops. So hopefully we'll have more focused things coming out of those. But I just love to see any photo that comes out with them using the kits. So yeah, I'm still waiting and hoping we get more sent through. So
yeah,
we send a lot more out.
Awesome.
I tell you
one thing I'd like to say. This is just off the top of my head, but if like kids are creating characters and stuff, I don't know, I'm up for drawing a picture of their character or any.
That'd be cool.
That's number four on my list of ideas, and I will be contacting people next year about that. So
awesome, amazing. So what the kids were going to a bit of a raffle.
Ears out. Well, it was just going to be. Depending on how many come through, obviously, and then try and match them up with an artist to recreate and bring it to life. So,
nice one, man.
But I need to start getting more from the hospital to do that. Something, one of the ideas for the future. Yeah.
Ah, great minds think alike.
Yeah, nice one.
Although he had the idea before me, so everyone knows that now.
To be honest,
He says whatever the marketing people at Marvel tell him to say.
Plant.
We know.
Yeah. They told me to tell you that any idea, we always had it first.
Yeah,
that sounds like them.
I'm sure.
No Fantastic Four characters. Yeah.
Oh dear. Yes, but it's brilliant. Definitely donate to Little Heroes. It's awesome. You'll be hearing more about it in the future from us. And you're welcome back anytime, Aaron. But you're going to stick with us, aren't you? Because you've got a cracking book to recommend at the end.
I believe I do.
you do indeed. You better have.
I've got a little bit to research, right? So
But before that, do we have any shout-outs this week, gents?
Yeah, I've got one. Shall I go?
Yeah.
every week you do that.
I'll do that every week. I just don't want to jump in. Feel bad. The We are going to be guests at True Believers Comic Con. Oh no, I can't believe it either.
Yay!
Saturday the 3rd of February 2018, True Believers returns for its fourth year at Cheltenham Racecourse. Other guests, valid and proper guests, include Kev Hopgood, Guillermo Ortega, Phil Winslade, Staz Johnson. If you follow anyone on Twitter, follow Staz Johnson. He is putting out some gorgeous artwork. Just incredible stuff. Mr. Wild Goose, I have literally just finished reading Batgirl 17. Fucking hell, it's good. He is killing it on this book. I just messaged him, and he's messaged me a load of pictures of penises, which he thought was funny, saying how good it is. But yeah, pick up Batgirl by Christian. Absolutely brilliant. Anthony Johnson's going to be there, the Errington Brothers, and many more. There's going to be back issues, collectibles, writers, small press. The small press you got is Leighty, John Leighty, the aforementioned Mrs. Gander. Milmo's going to be there. Milmo's going to be doing a sort of short workshop thing on how to put together a mini comic. Sounds quite interesting.
That's awesome.
Mike Garley and Matt Garvey are going to be there. Now, I have actually just told Matt Garvey that everything is alphabetical, so they'll be sitting next to each other, which should cause some kind of hilarious confusion.
They should have an arm wrestle. Yeah. They really should. Yeah. And we should have a picture of it.
Yeah.
And whoever loses their name.
Yeah, I would love if they ended up just doing Garley Garvey Inc. You know, like that.
If they just swapped tables for a photo.
Yeah. Sidesy, James Lawrence, and the Mighty Prolix will be there. I was just chatting to him earlier. Sam Webster. There's loads of panels. We're going to be doing a live one, which we encourage you to come along and watch the car crash that is us doing a live panel.
Fucking hell.
Go to www.oktruebelievers.com to get your tickets. I think there might be one or two small press tables left. I know last week there was four, so I'm not sure. You might have to bend the Stew's arm. Also, there's True Believers 2018 sees the launch of the charity anthology comic Tales from Beyond Infinity, featuring new and exclusive short stories from the worlds of the small press comics like Griff Gristle, The Inheretic, Samurai Slasher, Brethren Born, Periwinkle, Unfamiliar Skies, Midnight Man, Red Mask from Mars, yay, and the webcomic Wages of Cindy. Comic will have a limited print run of just 250 comics, with all the money for the sale of the comic will go to the Sue Ryder Leckhampton Court Hospice. So that's a brilliant cause. Awesome. I'll certainly be buying a copy. And there's some great talent's going to be involved in that. You look at some of the stuff that's going to be in there. It's just stuff that we have roared on about over the last few months. Good stuff. So pop along True Believers Comic Con, which is the 3rd of February next year. We will also be releasing, that is the release date of our anthology, which we hope you'll come by. Please do.
It is the date where it all goes wrong.
Yeah. It just turns into the let's get ready to rumble. Yeah, come and look at watch us have a meltdown, which is always fun, actually, because we do tend to have meltdowns at comic conventions, so it should be fun.
Yes, it's going to be a great day, very exciting day. So.
Yeah, we're hugely excited by that, and we've got all kinds of plans in place. So please do come along. It's a great venue, actually, Cheltenham Racecourse. It really is.
Yeah,
it's got like loads of parking. There's loads of stuff you can get drinks and food. It's got like it's a sort of amphitheatre type arrangement where you can sit upstairs and just read your comics and watch what's going on down below, or you can have, and there's loads of room for stalls. Quite airy, you know. It's good space, really good. Yeah, there you go.
Nice.
Awesome.
Anyone else got any shout outs? No.
No.
Right.
No.
I would edit in the sound of a tumbleweed going past, but it's too much work. I've already got to edit out the C word. So
you got a fair heads up on that.
Yeah, I did, which is better than most weeks, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah. I've been good this week, as you notice.
Yeah.
So then just drop it in willy nilly. It has to be earned.
Well, that's what will be written on his gravestone. Anyway, it's the comic show, and we talk about comics, so let's get to the recommendation section of the show, shall we? Who wants to go first this week?
Go on, I went first, so one of you go, go on.
Daniel.
Vince? Oh, no. Okay, I'll go first. This is a title I picked up at London Super Comic Con, and we actually interviewed the gentleman who created it, Ash Pure, pseudonym, but it's the first issue of The Lion and the Unicorn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think it's been out for a little while. I was very late to kind of getting on this one because I did a quick Google and there's a number of articles on it. I'll read you the blurb. The Lion, a forgotten war hero, the indestructible man with a death wish. The Unicorn, a gifted psychic knight. She's a girl who wants to save the world. And where we go. It's kind of interesting. This comic shares quite a few similarities with Vanguard, but they're very different takes on a similar subject matter. And this is kind of like a huge global company can kind of buy or sell kind of psychic powers, and how people kind of are using them against the kind of the government. And it's a really interesting premise. One of the I don't know if anyone's ever seen this comic, but it's kind of it's not a straight drawn comic. It's very kind of multimedia. There's a whole raft of different techniques used. It's photography, drawing, some Photoshop work, 3D work. It's all kind of like put together, very kind of multimedia stuff.
Yeah.
I think originally it appeared online, and you could view it online, and there's areas you can click on the screen to kind of get to different bits of the story and unlock it that way. So it's not just like a straight comic reading experience. And then speaking to Ash, he did have to retool it quite heavily.
Okay. You can see that, can't you? Definitely.
Yeah. So the experience changes from reading it online to the printed matter. And it's also in Comixology, so I imagine I'd be interested to see how the guided view version would work. It's a very interesting way of telling this comic, and I can't honestly say I've seen another title like it. It's very, very unique. Cool. I recommend check it out. Go and if you go to the website, which is, I've got that down, thelionandtheunicorn.com, and check it out there, see if it's a cup of tea, and then I'd recommend investing in the comic. And give it a go.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah. I'll go next.
Okay, mate.
Now, this week, I didn't get a chance to read too much small press, because I took crazy advantage of the mad Comixology.
Oh, we all did. Oh. We were sending each other screenshots of all the titles we bought, weren't we, this week? Yeah, oh, my God.
It started when Tony Esmond said, DC are having a crazy sale on Comixology at the moment. And I went there and thought, blimey, this is good. And then I noticed Marvel having a sale as well.
Sent me that, and then I went and bought a load of that as well.
Yeah, it was just going backwards and forwards like madmen. So much so, I had to be careful with the comics I was buying this week, because I thought, I've spent far too much money in that bloody sale.
It was like $1.99 for a trade.
Yeah.
Like madness.
Yeah. I got a whole bunch of Justice League International.
Oh, didn't you? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, loads of volumes of that, because I haven't read that in years. And I haven't got the physical copies of those ones. Shame on me. So I've been reading a lot of that. But I also, I caught up on a little bit on a webcomic this week that I talked about a little while ago, and it had just started when I spoke about it, and now it's on page 71, so there's plenty to check out if you haven't checked out yet. It's Rising Sand.
Nice.
Which is at risingsand.glass online.
Oh, that's right, I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, and it's still as phenomenal as ever. It's created by Jen Lee and Ty Dunitz. They write and they draw and they design. They're like a team that come together on this, and it's just brilliant stuff. The synopsis is, Ej is a world kept alight by a sun that has orbited faithfully since recorded memory, and now that faith is faltering. A band of extraordinary, unlikely heroes will try and keep the sky itself from falling while facing threats they could never have imagined. So, you know, the usual. It does make a note that due to extreme graphic violence and the occasional boob, Rising Sand is for mature readers only. Hopefully, you've read this page. And to be fair, a few pages into the story, you get some pretty full-on violence as someone is being absolutely obliterated in graphic detail. Which is, it's beautiful. I mean, it's grim, but it's done so well. But this, I kind of don't want to say anything too much. There's the synopsis, but you kind of need to read it, because this is very much, it's universe building, it's world building. I think it's right up the street of like people who like things like Final Fantasy and like these massive universes where, you know, it's not just the characters, there's a world, there's the currency, you know. Like, for instance, the currency is called Glass, which is why it's in the web name as well. And, they talk about that. With every page that they post, there's information about the actual world itself and its religions and, like, what the characters think. And, you know, it's just amazing stuff, which you don't have to read, because you can just enjoy the comics itself. And but at the moment, it's at a real... Page 70... The past three pages... have been a really nice sort of face-off between two characters. Kibrus, who's like this huge sort of monolithic type monk. He's got such a unique design. He's got these huge sort of bracelets that are like gold and silver and stuff. It's like something that... It's that beautiful design that looks amazing that could only work on the page or in a video game. It could never work in real life, but in this book, it just works perfectly. And and he's facing off against Ro, who is the sister of the main character in it. And Ro is in this huge, it's almost like a space marine sort of armor. And she's a sort of Templar, and it's very much she's honor bound. And there's lots of stuff going on, but just seeing two characters that are just so well thought out just face each other. And it's just a proper rumble, and it's getting very, very good. But it's a webcomic that started as it meant to go on. Now, we touched on earlier that a lot of webcomics, they start a little rougher, and, you know, by the time they get to 150 pages, you know, they're really polished. This has been polished since page one.
Yeah,
right.
And it's absolutely stunning stuff. If you just want to look at it, just to look at the beautiful artwork that Ty and Jen are doing, do that. I'm a massive fan of their work. I actually commissioned Jen to do a
piece. Oh, didn't she do your little icon, your avatar?
Yeah, there was a picture of me, my good lady, and our cat, which she did.
That's right, yeah.
she's an amazing artist. But definitely check this out. Like I said, there's 71 pages now. Normally when I catch a webcomic, I kind of want to wait on recommending it because, you know, when it's only done 7 pages, you're not quite sure how far it's going to go.
Yeah, or if it's going to continue, yeah. All sorts, aren't you? Yeah.
But these guys, and they churn out loads of cool updates as well. So follow them online. I'll put their Twitters and stuff in the show notes because they're always posting up when the page goes live or the workings of the page that they're doing. It's a great combo, great comic. I can't say further than that. Get caught up on it. Risingsand.glass. And enjoy. Nice. Enjoy. And that's the second time I've recommended it, so I think they owe me money.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So, Tony, what do you want to recommend?
Mine is in the running for being my comic of the year, genuinely.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, it's another... the art is as good as Carthago on the same sort of lines of that sort of clean... gorgeous looking art. It's The Vigilantes by Soleil. Now, Soleil are basically, I think, the digital arm of Delcourt in English, as I understand it. If you were going to do an elevator pitch, which I'm not a huge fan of, but let's do it on this one. It's do you remember that Brad Pitt, Kevin Bacon movie adaption of a book called Sleepers in the 90s?
Yeah.
Remember where they were a group of kids who take revenge on, was he a something like a guard or someone they were taking revenge on? Think of that, but with a superhero twist on it, and you'll kind of be somewhere near that. It's a French translation. It's written by Jean-Charles Godin. He's written an awful lot of comics, but very few that you'll find in translation, which is sadly the case with a couple of these guys. He's written something else called Androids, which I really must read next. Art's by Ricardo Crosa, who's written... only one other thing in English which I could find, which was Sanctum Redux, which I must have a look at. He's got a... do you remember the period of... Barry Windsor Smith when he was drawing Armstrong and Archer? Do you remember that period?
Yeah.
Stuff like the Booters. There's that quality to the line of it. It's that gorgeous.
I've just checked it out on Comixology, actually, the previews. Bloody beautiful stuff.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
gorgeous stuff. It's translated by Edward Govin and it's coloured by Stephanie Petra. I'll give you the summary. When Peter Stahl, who is a businessman stroke politician, announces his aim to take part in the upcoming presidential race, a group of friends meet up some 30 years later to do something about it. He has done something. It's a real slow burn, this book. You don't really even discover that the kids have got superpowers until book two. I'll put it that way, or what the powers are, it's hinted at. But he's done something. He's done something horrible that they hint at throughout the first book. There's a group of friends, there's six friends, one girl, five men, five boys initially, and there's four of them you discover when they've grown up, and one's a comic book artist, and one works for a movie company, another one's a school teacher, and another one's a banker. And... The book actually opens with the school teacher confronting a man with a machine gun, a sort of terrorist who's wielding a machine gun in a school, and he confronts him. The bullets bounce off him, and he defeats him. And then he sort of wakes up from the sort of daydream he's in.
Okay.
And the book then flashes back to the kids who are in a camp, like, you know, these sort of American camps that you see on American Pie and all this sort of thing. You know,
yeah,
they get sent to sort of summer camp. It's one of those. And throughout the flashback sequences, the creators are clearly like in love with Bronze Age comics, because actual comics from Marvel and DC appear on... They'll be reading them in the treehouse, for example, or they'll be picking them up in the local, or stealing them mostly from the local sort of shop and that sort of thing. And you see the actual covers for Arik, Son of Thunder, X-Men, Micronaut, Cloak and Dagger, The Defenders, Warlord... And it just shows a sort of love of the comics, but it gives this sort of like shout forward to what's going to happen to them. about halfway through the first volume, they see, they're reading like adverts in comics. You know, the old, we were talking about them last week, actually, the adverts you get in comics. And
yeah.
They see one for a shaman who would grant any wish. So the four of them, four out of the six friends, ends up, because one of the boys has broken his arm, his dad's abusive, and they visit this indigenous American person in a cave, and something happens. And the book like plays out like that. It hints at stuff for so long, but it is still like really engaging. It's only when they see the shaman that you realise that these characters actually might get powers. Up until then, you wonder whether it's just a sort of daydream or a story that they cooked up to tell each other, or they talk about comics in their treehouse and stuff like that. And so the book works from a flashback point of view in a sort of Stephen King kind of way. You know, Stephen King does this so well with things like It,
yeah,
and stuff, doesn't he? You know, where you've got this sort of group of friends.
Stand by me. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And then it works out. They all get together later on, and they decide, right, this guy's going to be president. We need to do something about it. And it's very sort of period specific when they were kids. And then they go on this road trip. And there's these sort of rules that apply to them where they've only got their powers when they're together. And they've only got their powers if they don't tell anyone about them. And it's four volumes. Do you remember the Rising Stars series by Straczynski from a few years ago?
Yeah.
I love that series. Really good. Mm. Reminds me a little bit of that. They each have a specific power, which I won't ruin. Sorry, mate, you can say something?
With that series, with Rising Stars, it was the artwork faltered on it a bit.
Yeah.
Whereas this is more consistent all the way through, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah, it's the same artist all the way through, which is the gorgeous thing about it. You know, they're 48-page volumes. Mm. I'll tell you what, on a tangent, that's Rising Stars. There are two novels came out around that.
Really?
And the novels are actually really well done, yeah, that tell the whole story. It's much more sort of coherent compared to what you said, which was sort of different art styles, and they also span off into weird little miniseries, didn't they, at certain points. Yeah. But yeah, the novels are worth a look. Anyway, so it's this, it actually becomes a bit of a mystery, the Vigilantes. It's sort of, you begin to wonder, oh, what's happened there then? You know, why are they all getting together? And the last volume is like the big widescreen superhero battle. But they can fail. The kids keep failing at stuff, you know, and you find out why this bloke is so evil, and you find out what part they played in and failed to help someone or a series of people, and how they weren't believed. And you know, it starts off, one of my favorite bits is there's a comic artist, one of the characters, and he's sort of standing on his porch, and he's seen this bloke's going to be president, and he stands on his porch, and he doesn't see his wife watching him through the window, and he throws himself off the porch and just goes face down into the bush on the, you know, on the grass. And you think, oh, so it's a little hint that, oh, he's the one that could fly and stuff like that. You know, very clever stuff. But it was, like I say, it was also on the Comixology sale. There's a Delcourt sale on Comixology, which I think is still on at the moment. It's only one night.
Cool. Do you want me to tell you something?
Go on, mate.
I looked at it. I've just bought all four volumes.
Oh, you command! Yeah,
they were $3.99, and now they're $1.49 each currently.
Right, brilliant.
As we speak.
Yeah, and you will tear through them. I read all of this today, so almost 200 pages I read today of it.
Awesome.
Because it's so kinetic, it's so gorgeous. You feel all the different people in it have got all the, especially the four main characters. They've got a little bit of a character to each of them. And they found their own way in life, but there's a real warmness between them, and you can see they're just fighting for each other, and they know they've got to do this thing. And there's a couple of little twists in it, I won't spoil, but yeah, really, really good stuff. So it's The Vigilantes by Soleil on Comixology. I don't know if there's a hard copy of it. I don't know if you can find a paper copy of it.
Yeah, the cover design's very interesting. The cover design very much is reminiscent of the sort of titles that Mark Miller would put out. It's almost like, it's very clever that I think they've sort of angled it towards that sort of audience.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the first cover, am I right in thinking it's a action figure that's sort of broken on the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah, which gives, it's so hint, but don't go into it thinking it's that sort of brash. I like Miller, and I think he does, he can write subtle, but I think people view him as being a bit more sort of brash, don't they? A bit boisterous and movie-like, but this is a bit more touching, you know. It's a Stephen King miniseries with superhero action and a bit of the Ultimates sort of banged into it, with a big mystery going on as well. So it's top
stuff.
Sounds
great.
Yeah, really good. And just another little shout out, just a second recommend to The Axemen Cometh, writer Daryl Smith, artist PXD, who we had a great chat with at Nottingham, the top bloke.
Yeah.
I've read it a couple of weeks ago and keep meaning to mention it. And then I was chatting to the PXD today online, and we were chatting about it. And I actually think they've got something here. I really did enjoy it. It's a sort of southern noir mystery thriller. Go and have a look at it. The PXD I compared, I don't know if he agrees with me around this, but I compared him to Shaky Kane. He's almost like a straighter, more normal, if that's a phrase you can use, version of Shaky Kane. And he adds some interesting use of black and white and colour, and he plays with the images in it in a clever way to make it look old school at certain panels, in the sort of old horror comic panels and stuff like that. Highly recommended, and he's a good egg as well. The pixie, I really like his sort of sharp, sort of scary faced visuals in it. Very interesting. So that would be my other one. There you go.
Nice. Okay. What about you, Aaron? What would you like to recommend?
So, my recommendation is a favourite of you guys all the time.
Cool.
It's Sarah Millman.
Hey, Millman. Nice
one. I love the artwork. The colouring is just drop dead beautiful. And right now she's got her Kickstarter 4 and 5 up and literally only 130 away from her goal. So
she's going to smash that.
Perfect time to go on and grab everything in one go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Kickstarter is for the last two issues of it, which
and
is
obviously awesome. You know that it's... Oh, is it the last two? I didn't realise that.
I think it is. I think it's a 5-issue arc, I believe. Sarah, if I'm wrong, just beat me up. That's what I'm saying.
Sarah would be great for your project as well, Aaron. I think Sarah's got a lovely all-ages style, isn't she?
Yeah.
Sort of like another sort of clean line, well thought out, knows what she's doing, gorgeous sort of line to it. Yeah, I think she'd be great for something for you. Maybe another volume of Little Heroes or something. You know, really good. There you go.
Yeah, she threw her name in the hat.
She did. Oh, brilliant.
Obviously, busy with what she was doing at the time. So, hopefully, next one. Yeah,
I'd love to see that. Yeah, that'd be excellent. Yeah. Real.
Awesome.
I'm very pleased to say that I'm going to be one of the pin-up artists for the the Kickstarter for NPCT.
Oh, of course you are, mate. That'd be great. Cool. Yeah, excellent.
I say pin-up, print, you know what I mean, yeah.
Will it be a pin-up of you?
Well, every picture.
We can only hope.
Could you do that one where you're pretending to play snooker and looking back? That one.
I think you'll find it's billiards, Tony. It's billiards.
Let's have more for that. The tennis court. You know, you.
Oh, I'd love. Yeah. Oh, my God, your hairy ass. That'd be great.
I'll tell you what, there's going to be a 12-month calendar just called Ball Games.
What? I'm in. Let's do a Kickstarter.
Oh dear, why do I do this to myself? I don't know. I've done myself there. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Yes.
Bloody hell.
There you go, folks. Another entertaining and comic-fueled episode in the bag, and we hope you enjoyed it. One thing before we get into the sign-off, it's comicconventions.co.uk where you can find a comprehensive list of most of the UK's comic conventions. I'm not going to say all, because I think I spotted a couple that weren't on there. So
yeah.
There you go. That's a good list. That's one that I used to check out. Yeah, that's one I used to check out back in the day when I was thinking about booking tables. So there you go.
Oh, cool. Brilliant. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but let us know, dude, because I'm sure if you've got any copies of Little Heroes and you can't make it to a convention, I'm sure we can stick them on our table for you.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. And
I promise that, because now that's what happens.
Lots of things are promised on this show.
Yeah.
Do we break them? Who knows?
New balls, please.
Yeah. Well, you know, and there's several different ways that you can let us know. Well, I wasn't going to make a ball-based segue.
Makes a change.
If you'd like to make a change, then email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com, and likewise at tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod, where we'll be posting up the future guests, and sometimes just rambling or retweeting or doing whatever we feel like, because it's our Twitter. And my two co-hosts have the keys to the car, so Lord knows what goes up now these days. Like us on Facebook, which you need to do to be in with a chance of winning the Comic House 12 month subscription, and facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. Join the group that a lot of, it's not just us, a lot of people have said it's one of the best groups on Facebook.
Yeah.
And that is Awesome Comics Talk, which the clue is in the name. It's about talking about comics. And just,
yes,
just good discussion on there, as well as just some funny stuff. Just really funny.
Yeah. As much as I'd like to hear about your cakes.
What? I want to post about cakes all the time. You don't want to know about my cakes? I'm going to bake a cake that looks like you, Tony.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah. What type of cake will it?
Talk.
Yeah.
What sort of cake will it be, folks?
Oh,
time will tell.
Fudge.
I'm thinking like a lemon drizzle. It's something really, really bitter. Something really bitter.
I've drizzled on your cake.
if it's anything to do with Tony, it's got to have nuts in it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
quick, it's all going wrong. Thank you for listening to us, whether it's on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, leave us a review. We haven't had one in ages and we're desperate.
Fucking ages. What's going on? Yeah. I feel unloved.
Look, we're
the only love myself again.
We are the only podcast that will tell you we're absolute losers, and we just we just need some sort of like pat on the back, or just someone giving us a cuddle sometimes. So please do it. It also helps get the word out about the show, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
Likewise, if you listen to us on the Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, or what other networks are we available on, Tony?
Pod Miracle.
Oh yes, get on that network. And tell everyone about us.
What about Pod?
You absolutely.
In the closing moments, boom.
Yeah. That's his drop the mic moment, isn't it? Now,
not as if you've got loads of editing to do on this one either. That's right.
Yeah, it's right for you. You can just, I don't know, you put your headphone down and then go to the toilet for 45 minutes. I'm the one that's got to edit this.
Yeah. I'll be laying in the bubble bath drinking champagne and you'll be busy editing.
No, it's not champagne and bubble bath. You're farting and it's a glass of Bucks Fizz. Don't lie to us. Where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
Ezohyz on Twitter. And I'm at neveronanything.blogspot.co.uk. I think there's four new things gone up this week. I hope everyone goes and has a read, because a really interesting book from Centrala I talked about. Real sort of experimental Norwegian book. Very fucking creepy, freaky stuff on there. So have a look at that.
Nice. Speaking of creepy and freaky, where can they find you, Dan?
Fuck you. You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
And we keep saying it every week, Dan, but Vanguard is smashing it at the moment.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I've kind of fucked up. I kind of planned to stop it, like get this issue done before Christmas, but then I've added like about 5 or 6 pages of action, so that's kind of fucked it up.
You can do that if you like. It's down to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah, your choice.
Dan Butcher like does that, whatever the hell Dan Butcher wants. Said,
I said earlier in the show, said you can do it yourself. Don't have to listen to some other person.
Thank you, Dan.
It's like that quote we were talking about from, was it Eric Larson that I sent through to you guys?
Yes.
Well, that was the best. At the end of the day, you have two choices. You can buy it or not buy it. That's it. You don't get to decide what's in the book or what isn't in the book. You can buy it or not buy it. I loved that quote from him.
Yeah.
It's like the best thing ever.
Yeah. And it just says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmaskfrommars.com. And you can still purchase the digital copy of my prose novel that I've written with my good buddy Daniel Mark Chant, called Devil Kickers. Getting a little bit of feedback from it now, and which is quite nice.
I've got to finish mine now, so I can read it on my Kindle.
Hey, Yeah.
It has the best opening line, like opening ever.
Well, you know,
I haven't got to the back yet, so I don't know how big our dedication is, Dan. So
yeah.
I don't
know.
Where can people find you, Aaron?
Yeah, so we're Little Heroes Comics everywhere except for Twitter, which is Little Heroes Kit.
There you go. Follow them up. Follow them up, support them, and just give your money to a very, very worthwhile cause.
Yes.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes. This has been another rude show, but we've all...
We are friendly.
It's also been informative, I think.
Yeah. Listen, kids are great, but don't sit your kids next to me and cost a coffee. They're annoying.
Kids are great, but I couldn't eat a whole one.
Yeah. I was going to ask you guys to come and be part of the workshops as well, but I don't know.
But I can't stand them. I'll do it for you, babes, but you know.
Yeah. That library one, that's all right.
Yeah.
Every time I came over, the kids walked off, so... Everyone's a winner.
What are you, the Gruffalo?
It's like who's the kid catcher? What's that, the child catcher?
Hang on, are you saying that Dan Butcher is comics version of the child catcher?
I once tried to get in a nightclub once, and there was a bloke on the door, and he was like the maitre d', and he was dressed like the child catcher. And I think he was, I don't know where he was from, his English language wasn't his first language, and he said, "No, mate, you can't come in, you are drunk." And I went, "Who are you meant to be, the child catcher?" Like that. And he went, "What do you mean?" And I think he thought I was saying he was a paedophile, and I wasn't, I was just saying he looked like the child catcher.
Yeah.
And it got a bit tense, and I had to be sort of dragged away, all a bit embarrassing, really. But
are you
sure
it was a nightclub and not just some van?
Yeah. he had this horse, with a cage on the back, load of kids in it. You know, what
are
you supposed to think?
Tony's just stumbling around going, "I only want a bag of sweets." Anyway, folks, as you can tell, it's gone horribly wrong. But hopefully your week ahead is going to be brilliant. So from Dan, Tony, Aaron and myself, have an amazing week. Read loads of comics. Stay tuned for what's coming on the show next week, and as always, I think my brain just melted. And that's the way I'm going to leave it. See ya.
Yeah.
See ya.
Bye.
Hello, and welcome to the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make all sorts of noise. It's episode 126, and joining me this week are the creator of the awesome... I've completely forgotten to read my own name. fucking hell. It's because I had to write the script from...
People like that we're so shite.
Yeah, I said I shouldn't really make too many sort of anti... religious jokes when standing in a church eating some cake I just bought from the stall over there.
What?
Look. We need to do just a video of just following you around one weekend. Just do. This weekend you've gone and like eaten taramasalata and taken a piss out of Jesus, and then you've fucking gone and waved a chainsaw around with your 8-year-old kid in a shop.
And then like people are saying, Dan B is cute.
Yeah. Somebody at work calls it pulling the head off it, and I think
that's painful.
Why would you pull the head off it?
Oh god, yeah, no,
can't think of anything worse.